NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Hi, I'm Sloan, and I know basketball. Today's guest is a basketball icon whose NBA coaching career spans over two decades, including leading the Boston Celtics to a championship in 2008. His journey from Marquette to playing in the NBA to coaching his son in the league is a story you won't want to miss. Today's guest joined us right before taking the head coach position for the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's get to know Doc Rivers.
When I was on the car ride here, I was talking to my mom, and I was like, what questions should I ask Doc? And my mom knows a lot about basketball from how much I talk about it, right? But she's not like, she's not going to ask you like a deep basketball question. She was like, you know, if you were a real doctor, what would you be a doctor of? So I want to know, do you think you'd be like a pediatrician or like a brain doctor?
I'd be a brain doctor for sure.
Genius.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
By the way, you know why I said brain doctor? Because I don't even know what it's called.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it has a big name.
I think it's a bigger name than we're using.
Yes, sure. I think so. But brain doctor.
But it would be really great that if I could just operate on some of the brains of some of the players that I coach, and I could tweak things a little bit.
Ooh, that's crazy.
That would be awesome.
Well, you can in 2K. You know,
yeah,
like if you just
want
to go, I love it. If you actually could tweak their minds, you would?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all of them. It'd make them all team players. And it'd be a little thing I would put, listen to Doc, everything.
Listen
to Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would change them. And I'd make them all tough.
Tough, okay.
Love it. That helps.
Mm-hmm. I feel like my parents would probably do that to my head.
Yeah, to all of us.
So as we know, I'm 16 years old and I'm in 10th grade. I want to know what you were like when you were 16.
Wow, that's a great question. When I was 16 years old, I was Glenn Rivers.
Yeah,
I wasn't Doc yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing for Proviso East High School.
Yeah.
It's one of the better high schools. I think there's 12 NBA players that came from that high school.
Oh, wow.
That's non-recruit. It's just local people from the neighborhood. And I played basketball all day. I never called it work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just went to the park. Back then, when I grew up, we didn't have to have play dates. I would get on my bike and tell my parents I'd be home by the time the streetlights came on.
Yeah.
And I literally was at 10th Park from, you know, sun up to sundown. That's what I did every day. And I did what other kids did. You know, you rode your bikes and just hung out. Yeah.
But were you doing that with the goal of being in the NBA, or for you, this was just what you were doing in your free time because it was fun?
I love basketball. I actually, I had that story that I wrote on I think I was in the fourth grade. I wrote on the chalkboard, I want to be a pro basketball player.
Yeah.
And the teacher told me to erase it and be realistic. And so I wrote it again. She told me to erase it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it again. And so I had an uncle, Jim Brewer, who played at the University of Minnesota, and he went to the pros. So that was my goal.
Yeah.
But I didn't go to the park thinking about being a pro basketball player. I just went because that's where the best games were, and it was fun to play.
Mm-hmm. So you were a McDonald's All-American. What do you remember most about that game?
Oh, it was a great – it was in Oakland.
Yeah.
I remember that. I think I was the leading scorer in the game. I do remember that. I think Russell Cross won the MVP. But it was awesome. You know, growing up in Chicago, you don't travel a lot.
Yeah.
So that was one of the few times I was able to travel and get on a plane. And it was so cool to be able to measure yourself because you've heard of all these high school guys, Derek Harper, but you've never played against them. And so – you know,
and you see how good you really are.
You get to see. And in this generation now with AAU, they all see each other. Yeah. In our generation, we never saw guys from other states and other cities. So the McDonald's games, that was a cool thing.
It was like pre-NBA. It's like you get to, it's almost like a preview of what your life is going to look like.
You can measure yourself.
Yeah.
I do remember coming from the McDonald's game thinking, all right, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I got a chance here. Yeah. So that was good for me.
I love it. So on Google, it says you're listed at 6'4". And a lot of players have told me that they think that their Google height listing isn't really accurate. Do you think that it's accurate? And when did you hit that mark of 6'4"?
I am exactly 6'4".
Okay, exactly.
Probably shorter now because I'm older. I would say my junior year in college.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew a little bit in college, which was nice.
So at 16, you think you're around like 6 foot or?
Yeah, right around 6 feet. Maybe even shorter.
Yeah. So obviously we know you've won an NBA championship. You've done incredible things in your life. What would 16-year-old you think about you now?
Wow. I think he would be happy.
Yeah.
You know, my goal was to be a pro basketball player.
Yeah.
And I was that for 13 years. Then I became a coach, and I was that for 20-plus years and won a title. Made the All-Star team. So I think, I think he'd be very happy with me overall. You know, always when you ask that, it's funny. I didn't even think of sports at first. My first thought was because my parents, what would he think of me as a human being, as a person? Because that's far more important in a lot of ways.
Thank you for that lesson.
Than what you are or what you do. You should be bigger than what you do. You should be more. That's what I guess what I would say.
That's my parents are going to love that you just said that.
It's true. It's very true.
So now that we know a little bit about you at 16 years old, I want to know even more than we already know about you now. So what was your welcome to the league moment?
Oh, my welcome to the league moment was my, I think it was the second game or third game of my rookie career.
Okay.
We're playing Philadelphia. And the two stories, you know, my nickname is Doc, right? And
yes, of course.
So we were playing Dr. J, and I had never met Dr. J. And I was so nervous before the game.
Yeah.
And he walked up to me and said, what's up, Doc?
Wow.
And for me, that was cool.
That was boss.
Yeah. That was cool. And then during the game, Maurice Cheeks ripped me like three times. And that was my other moment in the league where, I have to be a better player.
You're really here,
So yeah, it was a cool thing.
I love that you just said that because literally my next question on the paper was going to say, can you take us through the story of how you got the nickname Doc? For those of you who don't know, Doc's real name is Glenn, but obviously we all know him as Doc.
Yeah.
And so I'm so curious to hear that story.
It's an interesting story. I was a freshman in high school at a basketball camp and I was registering. I had a picture of Dr. J on my t-shirt.
Yeah.
Al McGuire, the legendary coach, was sitting next to Rick Majerus, the legendary coach. And Rick turns to him and says, that kid can really play. We need to keep an eye out on him. At the end of that week, the Milwaukee Bucks, back then pro teams would come in and play in front of the kids.
Yeah.
Well, they only had nine guys. And Al McGuire gets up and says, hey, Doc, can you come out? We need you to play. I sat there. I didn't know. My name's not Doc. So, and he said it three times. He kept pointing at me. Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. And finally, I realized I was Doc.
You're Doc, yeah.
And I got to, I was one of, you know, a freshman in high school playing with the Milwaukee Bucks on a court, and I scored two baskets.
Okay.
And all the kids start yelling Doc, and it's Doc.
That's crazy. Yeah. Does anyone still call you Glenn?
Yeah, yeah, my really? Family. You know, it's funny. I grew up in Maywood, just a suburb of Chicago. Whenever I'm anywhere and someone from the audience yells Glenn, I know it's somebody from Maywood.
That's so
and
cool.
No one at home calls me Doc. Everyone calls
so
me Glenn.
So it never stuck for your family, only for like
yeah,
the family.
Yeah, my mom did not like someone changed my her yeah, name. You know, that was my you know, so
yeah.
Yeah, but whenever I go home now, my brother, everyone, it's Glenn. Yeah.
I love it. I'm gonna start calling you Glenn because like I need to be like
in. Yeah, Pat Riley would call me Glenn too when he thought I was not doing well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's like a punishment. Okay, okay. So now in the next step of your career as an ESPN analyst, can you give me some advice on how you think I can improve my analyst game?
Wow. I would say this, and I don't know if it's you improving your game. You're better than me, so I don't know how I'm going to tell you how to improve. I just think we should all celebrate people. Mm. And I think you do a great job of that overall. Like, it's no negativity.
Yeah.
There's so many ways we can go. And when you look at most of the people you're going to interview, they've had 50 great things and probably 3 or 4 bad things.
Yeah.
And a lot of interviews, when you do them, they're going to talk about 2 or 3 of the bad things and talk about 2 of the great things that people have done in their lives. And I think we should celebrate people more. Yeah. I think it would be great for kids overall if we just celebrated everyone. Mm-hmm. I read a thesis, I don't know, somewhere, and this kid wrote, please allow my heroes to be heroes. Stop taking them down. I don't want to know the bad stuff. Yeah. I just want to know the good stuff. I want somebody to look up to. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what we should do more.
Yeah. And I love so much that you said that because for me, you know, I'm just such a fan of basketball. And I sit here with my idols in the chair across from me. And all I see when I look at you guys is like a god, you know, like I'm so amazed. And I also hate that people bring you down instead of bringing you guys up. And that's so important to me to continue to do that. And I always think about this, you know, like I'm the biggest Steph Curry fangirl in the world. And I, you know, admit that like at like 12 at night when I really probably should be asleep or doing my homework, I scroll on these like Warriors Twitter pages. And Steph has like one bad shooting night and people are like, let's trade Steph. I'm like, do you know what you're talking about?
You should never read that
and
comment.
It's like, why would you ever say something like that? He has done so much for the game. He's an extraordinary person, an extraordinary player. And to take someone down for one little thing that they did, like the amount of bad grades that I've gotten, if someone was just like, we should kick her out of school, I would be kicked out so many times.
I doubt that. First of all, I know your parents.
I know you
don't have any bad grades. Not that. There's no way. But Steph is truly one of the nicest human beings you can meet.
Yeah.
And it's real.
Yeah.
It's not fake. It's what you see is what you get. What I love about that, he's also a vicious competitor.
Yeah.
You know, and people, he's proven you can be nice and mean at the same time.
Yeah, you can. Speaking of this sort of positive thing, talking about other incredible players, I want to talk a little bit about MJ. What was your first experience like playing against him?
You know, it's funny. I was in the they used to have this sports festival thing growing up. And I think I was a sophomore and he was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the Midwest, the South, the North, and the East.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I'd never heard of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, literally, I'd never heard of him.
JV in high school.
Yeah, he was an ingoing freshman in North Carolina. And playing against him that week, I remember coming from that thinking, I don't know who this Michael Jordan guy is, but he's really good. He's really good. And then obviously I remember his rookie year when we faced him, he was with the Bulls. And you know, the first thing I thought, there's no way someone can play that hard and that intense the whole year. And he did it for his whole career, which tells you a lot about him.
It's truly incredible. And similar, but what was your first experience like coaching against Kobe?
Well, you know, we had this thing where we called the best player on the other team. If the best player on both teams, we would call the ace of spades.
Okay.
And so every game you coached against the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
they had Kobe. So we would say, okay, they have the ace of spades tonight.
Yeah.
And so you would always try to affect him somehow by being physical, by trapping, by doing different things. He was as close to Michael, in my opinion, as there ever been. That didn't mean there, you know, guys can't be better, but I'm just saying his makeup, everything he did reminded you of Michael. You know, even later in his career, you know, he went to the mid-post game, just everything. Yeah. What I loved about him most was his brain. And I loved his, the same thing with Michael, his intensity. Like, he was a cold-blooded killer. And I love players like that.
Yeah. And what would you tell your team, you know, if the ace of spades was a guy like Kobe or like LeBron or like Steph? Like, how do you stop them, you know, as a coach?
Well, I always tell them they could be better than you all year, but just not tonight. You know, and I thought that way as a player, too. I remember telling Michael that, like, yeah, you're the greatest player in the NBA, just not tonight. You know, and, you know, that's how I think you have to. You can't look at these guys as gods when they're on the floor or when you're going against them. You're trying to beat them.
Yeah.
And I've always thought the competitors appreciated that. Like, okay, you're competing. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay. So people may not know this, but as the basketball nerd that I am, like, I've known this forever. So Doc's daughter, Callie, who played volleyball at the University of Florida, is married to Seth Curry, obviously the brother of Steph Curry and the son of Del Curry. And then Steph and Seth's sister, Seidel, is married to Damian Lee.
Yeah.
So your guys' family, in my opinion, I think may be the basketball royal family. On every side, there's just incredible athletes. Like, what is Thanksgiving like? Take me through that.
Everything, when all the families get together, it's something turns into something competitive.
Yeah.
You know, it just is. A lot of times, especially like with Austin and Seth and Steph and all those guys, everything, they talk about sports.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we all are. And the debates for like Dell and I are hilarious to listen to. Because a lot of times, like Austin will call me with Seth on the phone.
Okay.
And he says, we have a debate going here. And I would always
say, you're the tiebreaker?
Yeah, I'm the tiebreaker. I say neutral because I want them to keep going because it's hilarious. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Though I love keeping up with the Kardashians, I want to see a reality TV show.
Oh, you don't want to see that.
No, I do. I'm sure it's so good.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So in high school, in like a classic yearbook, you know how there's like superlatives, like who's most likely to succeed, whatever. You've been a coach and a player on so many incredible teams. So I want to do some Doc Rivers superlatives.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to give you the team, and then I want you to answer
okay.
with who you think would be the most fitting. So who was the funniest player in the huddle on the Sixers?
Ooh, probably Tobias. Really? I'm going to go Tobias, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he was probably the funniest in huddles.
Interesting. What about on the Clippers?
Oh, Jamal Crawford.
Okay, that makes so much more sense to me than Toby. Like, I wouldn't think that Toby would be that
Jamal Crawford was, first of all, I loved him, but usually it was about offense.
Okay.
You know, or some way for him to score. I would go with Jamal Crawford.
Okay. Who was the team dad on the Sixers?
That would be Tobias for sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah, now that makes sense. Yeah. That would be, that's why he was funny, because he would say things that wasn't his age group. Like, you would think, like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
But that's 100% him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who on the championship winning Celtics team do you think could eat the most wings?
Oh, Big Baby.
Yeah.
Come on. That's not even a contest. The craziest contest, though, that was the most competitive team I've ever coached. Mm-hmm. All of them were competitive.
Yeah.
They had an arm wrestling competition on the plane once. It's been talked about before.
Yeah.
I think it's the most athletic feat I've ever seen.
Really?
Because Big Baby's bigger than everybody.
Yeah.
And he was just killing everybody. Mm-hmm. And the finals came down to Big Baby and Kevin Garnett. And the players grabbed me to come watch. And I didn't want them to do it because I thought Kevin would get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm worried about their shoulders. And it started.
He's so long. Like,
he's skinny.
But he, like, yeah. We call him skinny. Yeah.
And Baby is huge. Yeah. And it started, and Kevin just stared at Baby. And all of a sudden, they got stuck, and Baby gave in, and Kevin won.
Uh-huh.
And I was blown away by Kevin's. That's when, if you didn't believe in willpower before that, you believed in it after that.
Because I
was straight. Baby's stronger than Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
And yet Kevin won. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. It was cool.
I went to a Clippers preseason game, and I sat next to Big Baby. And the things that he was saying to the players was insane. For my little, 16-year-old ears, I cannot believe I heard those things.
Oh, you're saying like, what? Player to the other player on the floor.
But it was preseason.
Oh, yeah.
So there was like Kobe Brown, whatever, double rostered player on the Clippers that no one knows of. And Big Baby's telling him, he's like, while the game's happening, he's like, I really like your game, but your shot selection really needs to improve. And you're like, how are you saying that to this guy?
Oh,
and
yeah,
they look over and they're
Baby
like, oh
never
my
stopped.
God. Like, Terrence Mann literally looked over at Big Baby and was like, you are a psycho. And, and he just did not stop. I loved it. On that Celtics team that you said was so competitive, do you think anyone was a secret Lakers fan?
No. Maybe Paul Pierce.
Maybe growing up, yeah.
He grew up in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I think he said he was a Clipper fan, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But no, I would say, and if they were, you would never have said it in Boston.
Okay.
That's real. Like, the rivalry is real.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand it, my first year as a Celtic coach until, like, I think we lost a game to the Celtics, and Tommy Heinsohn, the legendary Tommy Heinsohn, walks over to me and is like, we don't lose to the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Then you got it.
But they're better, but okay.
Yeah. Who on the Clippers was the most LA, like the most stereotypical, like always hanging out with the celebrities, all of that?
Oh, DeAndre Jordan.
My guy.
DJ.
He was on Sloan Knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
DJ.
I've had the whole Lob City trio.
Matt Barnes
on Sloan
was close, because Matt and DJ probably hung out the most.
Okay.
And knew the most. Blake knew a lot of people too.
Yeah.
But Blake was more trying to get into the business. Like,
DeAndre just wanted to have fun.
DeAndre is the NBA fun guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every team you play, they know DJ and they're going out with DJ.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite people too.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, he's just a good dude.
We've interviewed. He is so nice. The other day I reposted, he had that poster the other day, and I reposted it, and he said, I'm famous now that Sloan reposted my story. And it's like, it's just, that really means so much to me, because guys don't have to say things like that.
Yeah, but he would, and he is. He's a champion now.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think DJ should be the first Clipper jersey retired.
Really?
I really do. He was the original one.
Mm-hmm.
He's all defense, Olympic gold medal,
yeah.
NBA champion, stayed there the longest, was traded, was never
yeah,
just
never
left.
Chose to leave. Yeah.
So I think when they open a new arena, they should put DJ Fitzjersey up. I think that'd be really cool.
Steve Ballmer, listen to Doc. Let's do it.
Please
Let's
do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So this one is for my dad and for the dads out there, because I obviously was not alive when you were on the Knicks, but I think a lot of Knicks fans want to hear this. On your Knicks team, who do you think was the most likely to win a UFC match?
Charles Oakley or Anthony Mason or John Stark
All
or
of them.
Patrick Ewing. We had that was a rough team. Uh-huh. I love that team.
If you and Charles Oakley went in the ring, what's going down?
Oh, I beat him.
Really?
I'd just punch him to death.
Oh, great. Okay.
You know, there's footage. Charles Oakley and I had a fight when he was with the Knicks and I was with the Hawks. We literally, someone just sent it to me because it was the anniversary of the Charles Oakley Doc Rivers fight. It was quick. I threw one punch and they grabbed us. And I was thinking, someone grab me quick, please. No, Oakley is rough. He'd beat most of the league for sure.
You think now still?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like him versus Giannis?
Oakley was a grown man. Like there's a different thing. There's guys who in the NBA will talk like they want to fight. There's guys in the NBA who will fight. And then there's a few guys who want to fight. And Oak was a want-to guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was looking for a fight.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now let's move on to your kids, because it's super cool that not only were you an NBA player and an NBA coach, but that your kids also were basketball players and athletes and that you've gotten to share that with them. Can you tell me a story about your kids that's made you most proud to be their dad?
That has never been asked. You know, each one of them, I guess there's different moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Austin making the shot against North Carolina was a problem. But I think my proudest moment of Austin was the day he was drafted. Like, that was his goal.
Yeah.
He wanted to be drafted. My daughter won Gatorade Player of the Year in soccer, in volleyball. I think the most proud moment I am of her, honestly, is as a mom.
Yeah.
She's a great mom. And I didn't see that coming. I loved my daughter. I didn't see great mom coming. I just didn't. I'm being very honest there. My oldest going to Georgetown, playing in the Final Four, was a proud moment. And my youngest, Spencer, who is now an assistant coach with the Detroit Pistons, my proudest moment of him is they won the state championship. I know that sounds crazy. It was high school, but they were unranked, and unranked teams in high school never win anything.
Yeah,
they beat a team that had, I think, like five D1 players on it. And it was the most surprising state title win maybe in Florida state history.
Yeah.
And so I was really proud of him.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Who is an underrated player in the NBA that you've always admired their game?
Well, everyone knows Shea now.
That's always everyone's answer. Yeah, like, Shea is not underrated
but
anymore.
But he's not underrated anymore. So, it's you know, I would say Drew Holiday. Through his career, he's been the best defensive player in the NBA. And all of a sudden, like 2 years ago, people start saying,
"No,
he's a good defensive player." And as a coach, I'm like, he's been a great defensive player through his career. So I'm happy that he's getting his due now, but he's been great for 10 years. It's just taken people a long time to figure it out.
Yeah. Who's a player that you've coached in your career that you've been impressed by their development? Like, when they came into your organization, you were like, okay, they're whatever. And by the time they left, you were amazed by what they'd done.
Well, Shea would have been, but we didn't have him but 1 year.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey is, you know, it's funny, Sloan, his rookie year, he was shooting like 20% from the 3-point line. And I remember doing a press conference after the game. And I said, Tyrese Maxey is a great shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And the media, there were people, they literally like
destroyed him.
They started laughing. They destroyed me for making a comment.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, he's not made a shot in the NBA game. I get that. But the guy makes 100 threes in a row in practice, 50 threes in a row. That's not a fluke. It's going to come.
Yeah.
I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come. And I'm happy that I said that now, because when you watch him play.
Because if it didn't, that'd be a little awkward.
Yeah. So he would be one for sure.
Mm-hmm. What was one challenging moment in your playing career that you had to overcome?
Oh, that's an easy one. When I first got in the league, I was not a good free throw shooter. Mm-hmm. My second year, I broke my wrist, and I literally got the yips from the free throw line. And most players don't recover from that. Yeah. Like, you got to be really mentally strong. Like in baseball, when you get the yips, you have to change positions. You can never go back. I think I shot like 57% from the line.
Going underhand.
I tried everything. Trust me. I actually flew to Allentown, Pennsylvania, because there was a guy named Hank Slider that was supposed to be a shooting coach.
Who said he could fix
genius.
Her.
And he actually helped.
Really?
I still think I may have the NBA record mm-hmm. for biggest improvement in the year. I think I went from 57 to 87.
Wow.
In 1 year.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The time, though, what people don't see is sitting in the backyard shooting free throws. And,
yeah.
I was late for a lot of stuff because I had to mm-hmm. go. Like, I would, right before dinner, I would always say I have to make 50 free throws in a row.
Yeah.
Well, you would do it, but some days that took 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was late for a lot of stuff.
You know, there's those pictures of, I think it's Giannis and DeMar DeRozan, I think both have an example of this, where they're literally taking off the court
yeah.
and they're still staying there shooting free throws. And I think that that's so
you have
amazing
to. And what people don't understand, like I could make 48 in a row, but you miss. You're shooting a great percentage, but it's not what you set.
It needs to be.
Whatever the goal you set, you have to reach.
Yeah. What leadership qualities do you think are essential for an NBA coach?
I think to be just leadership in general, uh-huh. I think you have to be a great listener.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can't be scared to tell the truth. And you can't be scared to be unpopular.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a coach, sometimes you're going to be the most unpopular person in the room.
Yeah.
Because you're making people do things that they don't want to at the time. I always had this rule with my players. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to coach you to who you are today. I'm going to coach you who I think you should be someday.
Wow.
And so that was great with the guys who wanted to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys who had settled,
mm-hmm.
that was hard for them because I was still pushing them. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think you have to be really stubborn at times.
Yeah.
But you still have to be a great listener. You have to stay open-minded.
It's almost like a therapist.
It is. That's what you are.
Yeah.
You know, you really are at times.
Mm-hmm. So you've had the luxury to coach the Lob City Trio, who actually are all Sloan Knows alums, which is pretty cool.
There
That's my
go.
First like trio that I checked off.
LA.
Exactly.
Yes.
Can you give us a story that you remember with the three of them?
Yeah, just them playing. I mean, you know, the Lob City thing had already started before I got there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be Win City. I could care less about Lob City. I wanted to be Win City.
Uh-huh.
But the dunks that Blake and DJ had and the passes that Chris made. You know, it's funny. I bet if you go back, I think Jamal probably made a couple of them too.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, all those passes were Chris Paul involved.
Yeah.
And he should probably – he wasn't a dunker, mm-hmm. but he should get more credit for creating Dunk City because it really started when Chris arrived.
Yeah. I feel like for me, because I'm a big Warriors fan, I always think about that with like – Draymond's impact on Steph. And we saw this with Draymond's suspension. Steph's three-point shooting percentage has gone exponentially down. Like, I think he was shooting like 43 and he went all the way to like 37. Because without Draymond there, who finds him and he knows where he is, that's not going to happen. And I think it's cool to credit those behind-the-scenes guys like Chris, where even if you don't really see it, it's there. Like, Blake and DJ couldn't be doing that without him.
Yeah, Chris was amazing for that team. He's a perfect fit in a lot of ways, just like Draymond is. You know, mm-hmm. I think Steph is averaging 5 points less in the games that Draymond doesn't play. Because Draymond, in a lot of ways, is their point guard for Golden State, and they miss him.
They do. I'm so excited to have him back. What is your favorite part about being a grandpa?
It's the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than first of all, let me just say this. Dale got the nickname G-Daddy.
Wow.
So that's
quite
perfect.
Nickname. Yeah.
It's the perfect grandpa name,
that's
right?
That's so lucky.
So he gets to stay cool.
Uh-huh.
And
what are you?
I'm grandpa. So
ugh,
I'm like
Dale.
This old dude. I'm like, I'm younger than Dale.
Yeah.
How did this happen? And so Dale got it first. So he's happy. You know, the greatest part is the love. Like, you know who the common opponent is, and it's the parents.
Yeah.
I come in, I'm candy, gifts, play, and then the best part, and then I can leave.
Yes. You don't have to deal with all the tears,
That's a really good part as well.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the last part of each Sloan Knows episode is trivia about you, which...
I don't know it.
Okay, so you're just going to come up clean with that? Because a lot of people are very cocky. They're like,
yeah.
I'm going to know trivia about myself. And they rarely do, okay? So DeAndre and Chris, when I interviewed DeAndre, you know, we're like chatting it up about who was the best at Sloan Knows Trivia. So if you want to join in on that chat, let me know how that goes. But anyways, earlier today, I interviewed Kelsey Plum, and she got a score of 8.5. And last week, I interviewed Santi Aldama of the Grizzlies, and he got a score of 11. We've been doing this trivia for a while, but we just thought of this sort of scoring situation. Yeah. So if you probably asked DeAndre, he'd say he got an 100. I would say he got more like a 1.
Yeah.
He was very bad.
But
it's okay.
I would agree with that, too.
Yeah, you would agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So the point system is this. So 0 points is nowhere close.
Oh, goodness.
0.5 is in the ballpark of a correct answer. 1 is very close, and 2 is nailed it. But I'm a very tough critic, okay? Like, if you debate with me, I'm going to tee you up. I'm going to fine you everything. There's no debating, okay? It's my grade book, and that's how it goes.
So you're a mean NBA referee.
I would be a mean NBA referee. I mean, I would suspend. Like, I would throw people out of there a lot.
Me too.
You wouldn't want to see it. Okay, ready? Okay. You were the Hawks' all-time leader in assists. How many assists did you have for the Atlanta Hawks?
Oh, my gosh. Numbers. I would never know that. Let me try to guesstimate. Okay. I'm doing quick math here. 2,000.
3,866.
Wow.
Unfortunately, Doc, I'm going to have to give you a 0.
Yeah,
that's not in the ballpark. Yeah. Next question. How many regular season games did you play in your career?
Oh, my goodness. The numbers thing. I don't even know my numbers after a game. Okay, 82 games a year.
Yeah.
13 years with injury. Oh, 10, 8, 20. I'm going to go 1,000.
864.
Wow.
Do we feel like – I feel like that's – For this, that's in the ballpark, right?
I think that's in the ballpark.
That's pretty good. So, 0.5.
But did you count playoffs?
No, this is regular season. But by the way, with playoffs, it probably would be around.
That's why I'm cheating.
Yeah, I get you. Yes, okay. Fine. So, you were the Sixers coach from 2020 to 2023. How many Sixers coaches have there been before you?
In total?
In history, yes.
Oh, goodness. Okay, I'm going to go with, because the Sixers fire a lot. they've had 3 and 4 coaches in the one season. Didn't we just do the 50th year anniversary recently in the NBA?
Okay, 75. 75th year,
So that's a chance of 75 coaches. I'm going to go with 60 coaches.
60?
Yeah.
It's 15.
What? Oh, my gosh. In the total?
Yes. In the total, yes. So I feel like
that's a good thing then, actually.
That is nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, see, you change the positivity thing, right?
Positivity.
You came in here with a negative perception of the Sixers office, and because I'm just this new, fresh, amazing perspective, I give that to you, right, Doc?
You just changed my whole perspective.
Even though I just changed your whole perspective, I'm going to have to give you a 0. That was probably the most
nowhere
close answer I've ever gotten, unfortunately.
Awful. Yeah.
So I think you can, let's get back from it. Let's bounce back. Who was your career high in points against as a player?
I think I did it twice. And I want to say the Boston Celtics.
Let's guess the other team then.
I don't know the other team. I'm going to guess. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. The team no longer exists. Well, they do, but with a different name and in a different city.
New Orleans.
Supersonics.
Is that right?
Yes, it's right. I'm just teaching you so many things.
So that's Oklahoma City.
Yes, that's what I meant. Like, because technically.
But I thought I had the same number against the Celtics.
Someone's going to have to fact check that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, Google does say.
What was it? 37?
I believe so. Yes, 37. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were an all-star in 1988. Who won the three-point contest that year?
Well, I'm just going to guess Larry Bird.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yes, Doc. Yay, finally. Okay, 2 points. So right now you're at 2.5. I mean, it's not zero.
It's not zero.
It's not zero.
Yeah. I'm better than DJ already.
Exactly. Yeah. Who won the dunk contest for that All-Star
game? Well, I know who should have won. Michael won.
Michael did win, yeah. Correct.
So I get points for that.
Yes.
But I know who should have won. Mm-hmm. Dominique won.
Dominique should have won.
Yeah, okay. It was in Chicago, so mm-hmm. Dominique had no chance.
Unfortunately, I don't count should have won. Yeah, I only count did win.
I still got it 100%.
You did. Okay, yeah. So 4.5. Love it. How many points did you have in the 1988 All-Star game?
Well, I have no idea. 13.
9. That's in the ballpark. I'll give you 0.5 for that.
I think I had I missed a ton of free throws in that game.
Really?
Yeah, I was a bad free throw.
But then once you improved, it was
I fine. Was improved already. I just had a bad night that night. Yeah, that was tough. Okay.
So you're a 5. Doc, I know you talk all the talk about being a good dad, right? But what is Austin's career high?
In the NBA?
Yes.
Oh, he did it in the bubble. I know that. 41.
Correct. Let's go.
Was that
go.
Right? Wow, that was a guess.
Austin, that is impressive. Yeah. That's good for a dad. I DM'd Austin, and I was like, Austin, I'm interviewing your dad. What should I ask him? And he didn't even answer. So it's like not chill of Austin.
No,
so
that's Austin with text. That's Austin with everything. He doesn't respond. I bet he will respond, but it's going to take him about a week.
Okay, it will take him about a week. Yeah. And then I'll be like, awkward, I already interviewed him. Missed your opportunity there. But okay, you actually have an insane comeback. So now you're at 7 points with 2 questions left. Wow.
I'm rolling.
Oh my God, you're giving Kelsey a run for her money with 8.5. How many assists did you average at Marquette?
At Marquette?
I'm taking you back.
These are some tough ones. I'm going to go 6.5.
4.6.
Come on, Doc.
I don't know. Like,
how did they think that's close? How did they think I was a point guard?
Is it close?
6 and 4.
Two more. Okay, I hear you. But 2 more assists.
Assists
isn't something that little. You know what I mean? Like, that's.
It's just 4 points.
It could have been 6 points.
Not in my era.
Not in your era. There's no 3 points. So do I.
There's no 3-point shot.
So am I giving you in the ballpark?
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood? Yeah. Should we go like 0.3 points?
I'll do 0.3.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll take that.
That's like when the teacher's like, I can give you 0.1 points back. And you're like, that doesn't really help.
I think I led the team in assists at 4.5.
Yeah.
We must have really been bad.
Yeah. Not a good look.
Yeah.
How many Marquette players have been drafted to the NBA?
Huh. Total?
Yes.
Wow. 21.
I'm just going to give you it's much more than that. You have to give Marquette a little bit more credit.
21's a lot.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You have to give, Marquette is a good basketball.
It is a great basketball.
D. Wade, Jimmy Buckets. Like, come on, give the credit that they deserve.
35.
Oh, wow. You have no confidence. 57.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. Crazy.
Marquette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you. Okay, Doc.
I love that. I get a 0 score. On that, but you I'm very happy about
your final
that.
Score, 7.3. That's probably like a C.
That's a C.
Which
well, that's
is fine.
That was me in school.
Okay, love it. Yeah. So you're just continuing that track. Now, Doc, thank you so much for being here. I had so much fun. And even though you were pretty bad at the trivia, I thought you were really good at answering all my other questions.
Well, you once you went numbers.
Yeah, numbers
I was
is
done.
Rough. Numbers is rough.
I was done.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here. This is so much fun.
By the way, you're doing amazing.
Thank you.
You really are.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. You can get links to my socials and see behind-the-scenes fun from Doc and I in the show notes, or just search at Sloan Knows on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Remember, that's Sloan with an E.
The Volume.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering 2 shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.